buzzing, or is your sound buzzing, or blow the horn if it's buzzing. Blow the horn if it's clear. Okay, y'all that are buzzing are outnumbered. So if you buzz and pull up a little bit or pull back a little bit, see if it'll help you. But we're trying to do everything we can. So I'm going to preach from in here, and I think that's better than out there. So 2 Chronicles chapter number 2, chapter number 20. And we'll begin in verse number 5. If you're there, toot your horn. All right. They shout my way with the horns. I'm going to preach them in here. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Oh, this feels way more like preaching. Got a pulpit. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verse number 5. The Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdom of the heathen, and in thine might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever." Verse number 8. "And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary, wherein for thy name's sake, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand therefore this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." Now drop down to verse number 12. The Bible says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And that'll be our text verse this evening. This man in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 made this statement under the inspiration of God. He said, "Neither know we what to do." And so this evening, I was thinking and praying about what we'd be dealing with, and if we would even be having church this evening. And everything has been rearranged. Everything has, children are home from school. People are home from their jobs. And that right there is enough to stress anybody out. And to start homeschooling at the same time you come off your job. So everything is up in the air. Things are changing. 401ks are dropping. People are losing their jobs. It is absolutely more than most can handle. And people say, what could we do? And my children, my teenage girls, make this statement, and I've heard it a lot lately. We don't have anything to do. Well, why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? Well, we just can't do anything. Well, we just can't do that. Why won't you let... And here, it ain't what we can't do. He said, we don't know what to do. But then, I want to preach on this on very contradictory to what he said, sort of the opposite. I want to preach on this subject, what we can do. Not what we can't do, but what we can do. Now, he said he didn't know what to do or how to handle it. And I want to deal with the subject this evening on what we can do. Not what we can't do. And I think we've got tied up in all that we can't do. We can't go out to eat. We can't go sit in public. We can't hobnob and hug and handshake. But there's some things that we can still do, even in this hour. And I regret to inform you this evening, there may be more service cancellations. There may be this coronavirus, the government, our own governor, and those in higher position are giving edicts and giving executive power and thrusting that into our life. And we have have to deal with it. Keep our testimony. But there is one higher than a governor. There is one higher than a president. And that is the Lord of heaven, the Lord of hosts. And so there's some things we can do. And I want to encourage us all this evening to do that. But I do regret. There may be services we will still have to cancel in the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's around the corner. But I do know who holds tomorrow. And I believe I'm in His hand. And the Bible says, not the Bible, but on down, we look at the Lord, and the Lord has given me direction, and there's a lot we can do. So let's look right here in these verses and see what we can do. Number one, you say, I can't do much. Well, you can do this. You can pray. Amen. You say, I guess I'm bored. Well, that's a good time to pray. Let me tell you how to fix your boredom. Pray. Amen. That's right. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 20 right here in the text, he gives us and speaks out and talks about how we ought to be praying and interceding and lifting our positions unto God. Say, what should I pray for? Well, start by praying for the sick and the afflicted. Do you realize God has blessed us this evening to be able to sit in the car? I mean, not even have to get out of your car and walk in the doors. You're in the air conditioning in your car. God's blessed you. Your lungs are functioning and able and working. Your heart's beating. God has been good to us, and we dealt with that this morning. But oh, how we ought to think of others. Over 10,000 people, multiple times over that, were found out today they had this coronavirus. And here we are, healthy in the the house of God. And so the least we could do would be pray for others, since God has shown mercy to us. Amen. Say, well, you got any Bible for that? James chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, and anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. So there's some good Bible right there in the book of James that will help and encourage us to pray for others who are sick and afflicted, and long lines at the hospital, long lines at the ER. It's not just people who have this virus, but people who had other sicknesses before Corona ever showed up. People were still filling the hospitals and the doctor's offices. And here you are this evening at the house of God with the people of God. So all that ought to, that's one thing we can do. We can pray for those who are sick. We can pray for our health care altogether. The health care workers, they're being enamored and overrun by all these people, all these sick and people, and they are putting their own life at risk. Their own family's at risk. I saw this man, this nurse, or a young man doctor coming in from work, and he came to his front porch, and here his young little toddler boy ran to him, and the man almost grabbed and embraced his son, and then he fell back and jumped out of the way, knowing he could not hug his own child. I wept when I saw that. Oh, how good God has been to us. So if you're not sick, the least we can do is pray for those who are, and those who are helping those who are. Amen. Pray for the healthcare workers and those that are on the front lines, that the Lord would protect them and strengthen them and show mercy and grace unto them. It may be tomorrow. It's our turn. I hope we'll pray while God's being good to us. God, help us to get past just praying when we need it, and pray because it's the right thing to do. So we can pray. We can pray for these who are sick. We can pray for those healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, etc. Pray for the vulnerable, that the sickness would pass over them. You say, could God do that? Oh, I remember that death angel. And blood was put on the door and the lintel of the house. And God calls that angel, that death angel, to pass over. Yes, prayer will move the hand and heart of God. And He will and can protect anybody from corona, from cancer, from anything. He's God. And besides Him, there's none other. And so, pray, pray, pray. Pray for the unemployed. Unbelievable the economic effect this is having, not just on us but and our country, but on the world. This will absolutely rearrange planet Earth. Things are, I'm studying deeply on the end times, and it's amazing what can happen in a week. God can drain the piggy bank of America in a week. God can take every dime and dollar of every billionaire on planet Earth in a day. Look at how our nation has been changed. Look at how our lives have been changed. It's out of our control. Those above us are causing change in our life. And oh, how we ought to pray for them. Amen. Pray for our leaders. Say, is that biblical? Well, I'm preaching it. I wouldn't preach my opinion. No, the Word of God gives us opportunity and reason. Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 17 through 20. Let me give you some more context. Verse 18 goes on to say, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again the dead, our Lord, brought from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd and of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So right there in the Word of God, we have instruction to pray. Pray for our leaders. Pray for your pastor. Don't just pray for me, but I beg you, pray for me, but pray for other pastors. Every pastor I talk to, they are struggling with this, just with this virus, just with what's going on in their neck of the woods. It's a struggle. It's wearing, and it absolutely will tear you down. So we need prayer. Pray for your pastor. Pray for other pastors. Pray for missionaries, evangelists. They are losing. Some have already been canceled throughout half this year. No income. You say, well, I ain't lost my income. Then pray on their behalf. Pray for the sick. Pray for those in leadership. Pray for pastors, evangelists, missionaries, our president, our vice president. And on down the line, all the way down to the local leaders. Pray for church members. Many are running. Listen, many churches right now are running on a shoestring budget from one week to the next. And I have been there. I know what it's like to sign the back of the check and put it in the offering plate so the church can make it by. And many more, listen, if God's people don't send their tithe in, they will be untold amounts of churches close their doors and padlock. And that's a fact. And that is so sad. Couldn't we intercede on their behalf? Oh, God, help us. God's been good to us. Look around. Look at what you're staring at. God has been good to us. The least we could do is pray. Amen. Amen. My goodness, amen. Lord, help us. Pray for churches. Pray for pastors. Pray. Many are running, as we said, on these shoestring budgets from week to week, and God's people need to do their part. Amen. All right, so we cannot what? Number one, concentrate on prayer. Number two, we can control our minds. Now the media and those in higher power love, and the devil loves to manipulate and dominate our minds. And I'll be honest, it's been a fight in my own personal life to get my thoughts in order, to bring every thought under subjection as the Word of God says we can, to have the mind of Christ. We need to control our minds. Preacher, you got any Bible for that? Well, of course. For 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Here it is. And of a sound mind. Hey, listen, God can fix what the media has messed up. God is bigger than a virus. God is the sovereign God of this universe. And we need to get our attention and our minds and our affection set on things above. And it will fix our mind. Amen. Amen. So, concentrate on our prayer life. Control our minds. Considering controlling our minds. The Bible says there, of a sound mind. That means a mind that does not fear. Amen. By the way, God has, that's opposite of what God said. He said, I hadn't given you that spirit. I have not. That didn't come from me, God's saying. If you are living in fear, and many are. And if you're living in fear, know this, that is not from God. God don't issue fear. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what this world needs? While everybody is running fear, full of fear, God, this world needs to see some people who are in the right mind, who have power, the power of God on them, and they can walk without fear into this world and situation. They need some stability like that that should come from the house of God and the people of God. Amen. So we need sound minds. We need to concentrate and control our mind. We have the opportunity to not let this crisis destroy our peace. Fill your mind. How do I fix my mind? How do I get a sound mind? Fill your mind with Scripture. Hide His Word in your heart. Amen. Anxiety is imagining the future without Christ. It's a good definition I saw today. You know what the definition of anxiety? Imagining your future and just remove Christ from every part of it. That will bring anxiety to a true child of God. If you're a child of the devil, that won't bother you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. That's how we can control our mind. Look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. So not only do we concentrate our prayers and control our minds. Hey, listen. That's something you can do. Contrary to what the devil will let you in on, contrary to what the flesh wants to have you believe in, and the society and the powers that be, they want you to have a fearful mind. They want to control and contaminate your mind. But you can do this tonight. You can control your mind. Bring it under subjection. Amen. Number three, you can count your blessings. You can concentrate on prayer. You can control your mind, and you can count your blessings. As the old song said, name them one by one, and it'll amaze us all that God has done. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. There's a blessing. Boy, that'll be right up at the top of our list. The fact that we know and can say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know Him. What a blessing to know Him. Amen. Not only do I know the Father, I know the Son. And because I know the Son, I know the Holy Ghost. Amen. Boy, that's blessings. That's blessings. What if I said, okay, this evening you could have, I have a vial full of this epidemic, coronavirus that is plaguing the world. I have a vial that will fix you. Why, if you believed that you'd give me anything in this world to know that you were safe, to know that you couldn't be penetrated, to know that you didn't have to worry about that. I'll tell you this, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. In other words, death wasn't the end of the road for him. And to him, Christ was more than some pandemic serum. Christ was more than anything this world could offer. I say he's a blessing. He's number one on the blessing list. If we know Christ, and this is the first time I've ever experienced anything like this, just like you. We're going through this for the first time together. So this is uncharted territory for me and for you, for our church. For our school systems, for our companies, and for your jobs. It's a first-time deal. And thank God for that it is the first time. I'm 42 or 3, somewhere in that neighborhood, and about to be 43, and I've never seen it on this fashion before. And I say, thank God I've been able to go 40, almost 43 years and not see it like this. So don't look at that glass half empty. We can look at it half full and say, praise God, half my life, if not more, God hadn't let me get to a place like this. So if He's took care of me this long, He will take care of me the rest of the way. Amen. And you as well. And so if you hadn't been through this, thank God. That's a blessing. Say, so what can I do? You can count your blessings. You can control your mind. You can concentrate on prayer. Count your blessings. Don't become ungrateful during this time. Count your blessings. In times of plenty, it's easy to become unthankful. Oh, my. Back to this praying, just let me throw this thought in. I thought about it on the way to church. What if the only prayers God would answer for us going forward were linked to those we were willing to pray for others during this time of much in our lives? Think about that. He said, I don't know them people up in New York. I ain't got time to pray for them. Hey, listen, I promise you, when it hit, hey, I just found out right before church, I think it's 50 or 60 cases, new fresh cases in Greenville, South Carolina, right up the road. We ain't over this yet. I can't guarantee you're going to get past this. I heard them say on the television today to millions of people, the governor of New York City said, go ahead and prepare yourself. You will see people you know die. That ain't hearsay. That ain't speculation. That's what the governor of the state is saying. He's not hiding that fact anymore. I mean, listen, this, we could just sweep over this, or we can come to reality. This is real. This is in our life. It's something we all gonna have to deal with. And I'll tell you this, I want people that can get a hold of God praying for me. And if that's true, we ought to pray for others. So that's something we can do. Tonight, if we go home, Don't go into tomorrow and waste time saying, well, I ain't got much to do. No, we got stuff we can do. We can pray. We can concentrate on praying. We can control our minds. We can count our blessings. Number four, would you look at this? I think I got another 5-point message, and you're going to be out before 7. I thought I'd hear all the horns honking. Number four, claim your promises. Claim your promises. You can do that. Hey, if you got a Bible, King James Bible, open it up anywhere. You won't have to read long until you'll find a promise directly from God. Psalm 56, verse 3. I'm just going to give you a few good ones. Psalm 56, 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. If you get afraid, I mean, God didn't give you that, and I dealt with that earlier, but if you do get there, and we all can, and have, and will, but if you do, go to this promise and say it. The psalmist prayed, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I'm telling you, you can trust him. You can trust him. Not only that one, but Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is, not God might be, not God will be, God is my salvation. I will trust. And not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Hallelujah. Trust God before you're afraid. Trust God while you're afraid. And trust God after you've been afraid. You can trust Him. Amen. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What a promise. What a promise. You cannot get outside His bounds. You cannot run outside His reach. He'll never leave you. If you run, He'll run with you. If you turn your back on Him, when you turn around, He will be standing there. You cannot get away from God. And you'll thank God for that. What a promise. He'll never leave us. Nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, here's another one, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. Number five. Yeah. Y'all gonna get used to this 30-minute preaching expected every week. Number five. What else can I do? Here's something you can do. Consider your responsibility. Consider your responsibility. What do you mean? Well, while practicing, literally, right now, social distancing, y'all are way out there and I'm way in here. I'm standing right behind the pulpit where I preach every week for sound reasons. But right now, while practicing social distancing, how many of you have heard that phrase lately? Toot your horn. Yeah, I thought so. Try this. While practicing social distancing, while staying 6 feet apart, try this. Try spiritual closeness while you're separating from flesh. Get close to the Spirit while we're... Have you thought about, have you considered all that God has fixed in your life without you even realizing it? I said a name one after another, after another, after another. Things I have prayed for, habits and hobbies and hang-ups that people have that God just put... I mean, it's come to a grinding halt. No more sports on Sundays. No more... Hey, no more sports on Sundays. No more NASCAR riding on Sunday. No more football, baseball, basketball. None of that on the Lord. It's all shut down. And by the way, your kids ain't there through the week and missing school for it. They here too. God's just one thing after another, God's fixing it. Hey, you ought to consider that. See, you thought they had to have that? They don't have to have that. They don't have to have that. Matter of fact, they shouldn't have that above God. So consider your responsibility. I'm being responsible. Are you? So while practicing social distancing, try spiritual closeness. We feel closer to each other if and when we pray for each other and talk to each other. If you go months without talking to somebody, well, it's just natural. You grow apart. Distance gets in between you and them. And so it's hard. It's really hard. If you keep a good conversation, if you keep that dialogue in between you and a person, you may have a flare-up. You may get see something cross or disagree. But if you keep talking, you will come out of that. Now, if you quit talking, it won't be long. So pray for others. Talk to others. It's important. During these times, we need to communicate. The devil lies to me constantly and tells me, you mad at me, you mad at me, you mad at me. And they probably telling you, the devil's probably telling you, I'm mad at you. I'm telling you, the devil sowed seeds of lies. He tries to mess us up any way he can. He don't fight fair. Amen. It's important for your church body. Call, listen, I'm going to give you some recommendations. Pick up your phone and call your friend at church. Make a friend at church. You say, well, I just don't have no friends. Then show yourself friendly. Pick the phone up. Say, I can't go to their house. I'm practicing social distancing. Okay, does your fingers work? Dial their number. Send them a text. Encourage somebody. It'll amaze you the help you will get. Consider your responsibility. It ain't always about you. Help somebody else. Not that you'll get help in return. But help them because it's good to help them. And while helping, it will help you. That is right. You know, I feel like, listen, this is the truth. Somebody consider your responsibility. Sometimes I will let my children get by with things I know they should not have, and I know I should not let them get by with it. And after I give them their way, and they go off in their room, and they're happy with Daddy, I lay there under judgment and feel wrong. Because I let them skate and let them by. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. There is a sense, I'm being absolutely honest, there is a sense and a peace and a check of God's approval when you do what's right. Period. Whether it's with your children, in our marriage, in our church, if you'll just do right, God will bless you for that. And that's responsibility. If you just give them what they always want, there ain't no responsibility in that. Amen. Well, pick up your phone, call a friend at the church, make a friend at the church. If you need someone's number, call me. I'll give you their number. Or call the church office. You can get their number. Miss Pam will give it to you. Brother Jackie will give it to you. But make a call. Make an effort. Pray with someone over the phone. Brother Milton Taylor, I can't tell you. This is the truth. There's been times in my life when I was at the quitting place and would have. A few times I had already written a resignation, and Brother Milton Taylor would just out of nowhere, my phone would ring, and it would be Brother Taylor saying, "Brother Michael, could I pray with you?" And I would leave that phone call charged and full and ready to go another day. There is a ministry in praying. Not just saying, "I'll pray for you." That's good, but actually do it. And that's better. That'll help you and them. That's actually acting responsible. I'm just saying, consider these responsible ways. Pray with somebody over the phone. Make it a goal to call someone every day. If you just did, that's seven people a day. If you just did one person a day, you'd reach seven members of the church. It wouldn't take you long to get around the whole church and be on a talking level with all these people. That'd be a blessing to you, and it'll strengthen the church. So make it a goal to call someone every day. Oh, I said I had five. There's a sixth one. I better hurry. Continue your work. That's something you can do. Maybe your routine is different now, that, and I'm sure most of our lives have been impacted and changed. And so our routine's out of whack and we're out of order. But you can still read your Bible every day. Your routine and mine have not been messed up so bad we don't have time to read the Bible. If anything, we've got more time. Read John chapter 1, 1 John every day for the next 21 days. And be reminded every day of just how much God loves you. Pray one for another. Send your tithes and offerings by mail. Get a pen and paper. 150 Old Spartanburg Highway, Packlet, South Carolina, 29372. There it is. Get a CD from Tommy or Brother Jimmy. But you should be faithful to tithing, giving. Hey, listen, if we do have a few services out, which I'm praying and hope we don't, doing everything in my power to not be that way, but if something does happen, it's your responsibility, not mine, to chase you down and say, "Hey, did you give your tithe?" And I ain't going to. But I pray for you and beg that you will stay right with God, whether we're meeting or not. Continue your work. Amen. Amen. Even if routines change, continue your work. Keep giving, keep preaching, keep praying, keep singing, keep shouting, keep going, keep witnessing for the Lord. Keep worshiping for Jesus, to Jesus. We don't want to get through this and get at the end only to find that we have backslidden through the process. God's allowing us to go through this for a reason, to better us. And we may pray like this man in 2 Chronicles 20 and said, "Oh Lord, we don't know what to do. What are we going to do?" I've just given all of us six things that you absolutely can do and should do. Whether you will, that's between you and God. Let's stand. Well, you can't stand. Bow your heads on your dash. Pray and ask God to put this message in your heart. Father, we love you. So thankful, Lord, for this time to get to come together once again, Lord, in the house of God, at the house of God with the people of God. I pray you'd take your word, God. Lord, you promised it wouldn't return void. So I pray you'd take this feeble effort, Lord. I pray you, the Holy Spirit of God, would seed to it, God, that it find good ground, Lord. I pray that the fowls of there wouldn't swoon down and pluck the seed of the Word of God that has been placed in the sand and the soil of the hearts of your people. God, would you let it sink deep down into the soil and come up, Lord, and produce much fruit for the glory of God. God, I pray you'd help us all, Lord, to take all six of these and make it a priority that we will do at least one of these tomorrow. God, we could do them all, but help us at least to do one tomorrow. I pray you'd change us, Lord. Be with us. Lord, I pray you'd give peace to those that are worried. God, I pray you'd settle the worried and wearied mind. God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would touch our senior saints, Lord. I beg of you in Jesus' name. Watch over them. Protect them, Lord. Shield them. God, help them to know, Lord, we are praying for them. Touch our children. Oh, God, touch our children. Save them. If they're not saved, protect them, Lord, if they are. And help us all to live with you and live for you in this week. We love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll be here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. All right? God